Good morning.
Morning.
Let me start by apologizing to one or two people who may have been thinking they were going to be put on the spot to be speaking this morning. I'm not sure who was going to, I forget, somebody told me who was maybe going to, anyhow, it doesn't matter. We're here. We made it. We just had a very, very busy weekend, and it was just, we were at home. It was hard to get up this morning and to get going and to get, it just was hard. So, but we're here and we're happy to be here with you this morning. If you could turn to Luke chapter 5, if you have your Bible with you. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 27. This is the call of Matthew. So I'm going to look at a few things from the call of Matthew, mostly as recorded in Luke's gospel. Matthew also talks about this call, but we're going to look at it from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. It says, after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And the scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's start off by trying to picture Matthew. I always try to picture who these people are in the Bible, and so I try to picture Matthew, and for him, this is just another day. He's going about his business. He's a tax collector. So when he walks into a building, when I walked into the building this morning, there were people like, oh, good, it's Dave. Oh, good, it's Dave. When Matthew would walk into a building, people weren't like, oh, good, it's Matthew. Oh, good, it's Matthew. They'd be thinking, oh, no, did I make a mistake in my income tax? Did that little thing that I kind of didn't quite claim honestly maybe not work out as well as I thought? They'd be thinking, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want to pay taxes to Caesar. I don't want to do that. And I don't like this guy because he's collecting them. And so there wouldn't be this, oh, good, Matthew's here. There were very few people. Now, there were some who would be, oh, good, Matthew's here, because of the group of people that he associated with. They were the only ones that liked each other. And maybe he was the life of the party in the tax collector and sinner circle. So, you know, maybe when he walked into the room, like, oh, there's Matthew. Oh, good. You know, he's probably got a couple good jokes for us or something today. But for him, he goes to work. He's collecting taxes. He's sitting there, and I don't know exactly. I still have this Sunday school picture in my head of what it would look like. And it's kind of, to me, I picture like a lemonade stand set up. But instead of lemonade 5 cents a glass, it's pay your taxes here. And I can see Matthew sitting at this little booth kind of a thing, and people have to come to him and pay taxes. And so he goes, and he gets set up, and I picture him sitting there, and people, if they didn't have to pay taxes that particular day, and I don't know how all of this worked, but I can see people coming along and just glaring at him, giving him dirty looks all of the time, and being rude to him. He would be scorned. He would be hated by the people because he collected taxes, and because he collected taxes for the enemy. He collected taxes for Rome. And the Jewish people did not like giving anything to Rome. And so he was hated not only because of the taxes, but because they viewed him as a traitor. I'm sure many times in his life he felt alone. He felt useless. But then Jesus comes along. It says Jesus, my version, I'm reading from the, what is it, New King James. And it says, after these things, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. He went out and saw. I like little phrases like that in the Bible. Jesus went out and saw. Sometimes it says in the Bible that Jesus passed by. So to me, it's just like he's out walking along and he just happens to go through this particular place. And Jesus never just happened to do anything. But I like it when it's a little more pointed than that. And it says, he went out and saw. And to me, that sounds to me like Jesus is doing something and making it known that he's doing something on purpose. Here's this tax collector sitting there feeling unloved, feeling alone. And Jesus goes out and sees him. He went out and saw him. Jesus was active, and he says at the end of this passage that I read, he said, I've come to call people. I've come to do something. I didn't come to sit around. I didn't come to wait for people to come to me. That happened. And many times Jesus would go someplace, and crowds would immediately gather, and the crowd would get bigger and bigger and bigger, and there'd be thousands and thousands of people around him. But it wasn't always that way. And there are so many times when we read through the Gospels that Jesus went out and he was looking for someone. And he was looking for someone. And he's doing things on purpose. He's calling people. He's searching for people. He knows Matthew is sitting there and he knows today is the day. Matthew has no idea. But Jesus knows today is the day. And all of the things that have been going on in Matthew's life up to this point, something incredible is going to happen. Jesus comes searching for him. This also tells me something else. This reminds me something that is so important in ministry. Jesus goes out and sees Matthew because it's his work, not the other way around. So many times we feel like it's our work. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to, you know, and have you ever approached a situation and you've got everything all in your mind? You've got it all orchestrated. You know how it's going to go. And so we pray this often, don't we? We pray for the Lord to have the wisdom to do things our way. We've got it all planned out. And so we've got the agenda. We've got the schedule. And so we ask the Lord to go along with that. But that's not the way it is. It's his work. He goes looking for Matthew. He goes looking for these people. He's got it all set up. It can be very frustrating trying to do our work. It can be an incredible blessing doing his work. And keeping that in mind, that it's his work. He's doing the work. And so everything is ready. But this is Matthew. This is a tax collector. Somebody who is viewed as a traitor. Someone who is hated. Someone who is sold out to the world. Couldn't Jesus do better? Couldn't Jesus do better? We sometimes write people off because of who they are. Because of who they are in this world. Because of the choices that they've made in this world. And we look at those people and we think, well, they're hopeless. They're beyond. Nothing, no one could ever reach them. God could never do anything in their lives. We were up for a little bit in Batchewana Bay, and then we're heading back out there today. And we may see, we're going to see anybody out there this week? We always run into people from Batchewana Bay. When we're in Batchewana Bay, we always run into people from Bethel here. And so it keeps us on our toes. We have to be on our best behavior out there because you never know who we're going to run into. Not that we would ever misbehave, but... And now I forget what I was going to say. When we're at the church in Batchewana Bay... They order, and I don't know if it's a faith thing or if they can't order any less. They order a little Christian thing that they've ordered ever since I was a kid. It's called Power for Living. Anybody ever seen those? Power for Living? It's a little Christian. It's like a newspaper, kind of, not a newspaper, like a Sunday school thing. And so you get this. It's four pages, exactly like that. It's full of stories, all kinds of nice little stories in it. And they order out in Batchewana. They must order 15 or 20 or 30 of those or whatever. And an average Sunday, there's 15 people there. And so they never give them all out, which is great because when we go up there, they've got this rack full of them. And so I start going through and I start picking out ones that I like. And so I pick a whole bunch and I don't want to overwhelm myself. So I pick a bunch and I read through them and then I go back and I pick a bunch more out and pick a bunch more out. So I got a whole bunch of them in a drawer waiting for me to finish reading. And I love them because in some of those little stories, they're stories about people who are like Matthew. People who we would look at and say, couldn't the Lord do any better? Look at this person. Look at how bad they are. Look at the things that they have done. Look at the sins that they have committed. Look at the lifestyle that they have chosen. They deserve to be condemned. They deserve to be separated from God. That's the way the world would look at it. That's the way we often would view it. They're beyond hope. The Lord could never change them. And I read through those stories and I think, wow, isn't it incredible what God can do? Isn't it incredible what a relationship with Jesus Christ can do? And I read about these people whose lives have been changed. And I read about somebody like Matthew, somebody who, you know, the first thought would be, and I'm sure that even some of the followers of Jesus, some of the disciples that he'd already chosen, and they're probably walking along with Jesus at this time. And here comes this, they're coming by this tax collector, and some of them are getting ready to glare. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And I can see some of them like, "What? You're not serious, are you? A tax collector?" I don't know if Simon the Zealot had been chosen at this point or not, but he would be directly, like violently opposed to this guy. And I can see like, are you serious? This guy? No way, it's not possible. But with Jesus, it is. And with Jesus, someone like Matthew, in the hands of Jesus, can do incredible things. You read through the Gospel of Matthew, and you see how he presents Jesus. Can you imagine? If Jesus wouldn't have called him that day, we wouldn't have that. Imagine if Jesus wouldn't have called someone in your life who maybe was hopeless, and they had an impact in your life. You may be here this morning because of that person. Think about somebody maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in your family. They're hopeless. It doesn't seem like they could anything good could ever come from their lives. But in the hand of Jesus, that changes. Couldn't he do any better? He couldn't do much worse, could he? He couldn't do much worse than choosing this person or any of the other people that he chose. And I think sometimes we forget that. I know myself, okay? And I think, well, you know, I'm Dave Lawrence. and that means something. It means something to me at least, and it means something to a few people. And I think, well, of course the Lord would choose me because I'm a good guy. In fact, I like to think I'm a great guy. We have that perception of ourselves, don't we? We think we're good. We've got things to offer the Lord. Of course he would choose us. And the Lord might say to us, "Well, I couldn't do any worse than you." That's the reality. That's where we are. We are all lost sinners without the Lord. None of us are any better than anyone else. We're gifted in different areas. We can do different things. We have different talents. We're in different places in life. But we're no better than anyone else. Yet sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I think I'm a little bit better than that person and a little bit better than that. And we're not. Matthew, just by this simple story here, Matthew would teach us that. Matthew would tell us that. Jesus comes to him and he says, "Follow me." Shouldn't he have done a background check? I coach volleyball. Would you call it coaching, Kim? I show up twice a week and I yell at the kids once in a while and they throw the volleyball around. Did I say basketball or volleyball? Volleyball, okay, good. Because I hate basketball. They throw the volleyball around. I'm there. But every year, I have to get a police check every year. And I think, can't they have some kind of a policy in the school board that, you know, it's good for 3 or 4 years? I don't have to pay for it because it's a volunteer thing. But I hate having to go into the police station and get it. And the woman that works there, you'd think she would remember me from last year and say, oh, yeah, but she goes through the same little routine. And then when I go back to get it, it's, oh. And last year when I went to get it, I used my status card as part of my ID. And they laminate it, I got it in my reserve, they laminate it, but from being in my wallet, there's a picture of me glued to this piece of paper, okay? And it moved a little bit, and so there's a little black. So she thought that I maybe had tampered with this card, that I wasn't really a status Indian or something. I don't know what. So she says, can you just sit there for a minute? So I'm sitting there thinking, like, what is going on here? And I know they didn't find anything because I haven't done anything, so I wasn't worried about that, but I'm sitting there thinking, like, what do they want? And this officer comes out. You David Lawrence? And I was like, yeah. Is this your card? Well, yeah. Like, he said, have you done anything to it? No. And he says, I didn't think so. But he had to do it because this woman was concerned about it and everything. I think that I hate going through that. And I'm thinking, you know, volleyball season's coming up again, and I got to go back in there again, and I'm not using my status card ever again. I got to get a new one. But I understand they have to do a background check. It makes sense. We want to do a background check, don't we? If you're going to hire somebody, you want a background check. If we're going to befriend somebody even, we want a background check, don't we? We ask around a little bit. We watch a little bit. We find out a little bit about who that person is. Jesus doesn't do that. He should have, because this is a dishonest person. This is a person whose friends are labeled as sinners. Not in this gospel, but in Matthew. Well, later on, the Pharisees say tax collectors and sinners. Those are bad people. That's who Matthew hangs around with. Those are his friends. Are you sure we would want somebody like that? Somebody with that kind of background? Somebody with those kind of friends? But Jesus knows everything about everybody, doesn't he? And it doesn't matter what our background is. He forgives it. He came to forgive it. Doesn't matter what it is. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've come from. He forgives us. Now, it would make sense to me, since Matthew works with money all day long, he's maybe not 100% honest, but he knows how to count money. He knows how to work with money. Wouldn't you put him in charge of the treasury? You've got this group of people. Money is there, and somebody's got to look after it. Wouldn't you put Matthew in charge of that? Not Judas? Especially knowing, because Jesus knew that Judas was a thief and that he was helping himself to the money. But it would make sense to me, Matthew, here's a guy, works with money, let's put him in charge of that. We have a smaller church than you people, okay? We would have an average Sunday, maybe that section over there. If somebody comes in and we find out that maybe they're an accountant or something, they work with money, right away, oh, there's a new treasurer for the church. And somebody comes in and they own a carpentry business, oh, there's somebody that's going to take over, you know, they're going to look after the maintenance. And doesn't matter what, you know, we want to know because we want to plug that person in where it makes sense to plug them in. But that's not necessarily the way things work in God's kingdom, in the way that he does things. Would make sense to us. I've probably mentioned this here before, but the least likely person, if you went to White Pines in the mid to late 70s, if you went to White Pines and you knew me, you would say that is the least likely person to ever, ever, ever get up and preach in front of people or say hi in front of people. To ever do anything like that. Nobody would ever think of that. But the Lord did. The Lord said, no, doesn't make sense. But I'm going to put you in that position. And when we look at our own lives, sometimes it doesn't make sense. But he says, I want you doing this. And I want you doing this. And I don't want you in that position. and I don't want you in this particular ministry for whatever reason. I don't want you in that. I want you serving me in some other place. Maybe some place that you're not quite as comfortable with, where you're not going to rely on your own strength and your own intelligence and your own talents. You're going to rely on me. I'm going to put you in a place where you're going to rely on me. You have no choice. And I love the simplicity of this. Follow me. When I read through the gospel accounts and you read through the things that Jesus said, and we don't have everything written that he said, and John says if we were to write it all down, it would fill up all of the books in the world. He's done so much. But the simplicity of it, follow me. Follow me. What if I would have got here late, got some people concerned, finally get introduced, come up front, and said, follow Jesus. Let's close in prayer. I went and sat down. He'd be, what? I got out of bed early to come here for this? But what incredible words. Matthew understood, didn't he? Whatever was going on in Matthew's life when Jesus spoke those words to him that day, while he's sitting there at his tax collection booth, Jesus says to him, follow me. And what does he do? It says he left it all and he rose up and he followed him. Follow me. So simple, but so straight to the point. Follow me. But Jesus didn't, and I don't know if there had been some interaction with him previous to this or what. Jesus doesn't come along and say, my name is Jesus, and I was born in Bethlehem, and my parents are, and go through and introduce himself and say, I've come here, I'm going to be ministering for about 3 years in this area, and then I'm going to be crucified, and you know, life is going to be pretty tough, and we're going to wander through the land. He didn't go and explain all that to him. He just comes to him and says, follow me. Follow me. And Matthew responded. Matthew got up and he left it all. Are we that willing? Matthew gets up right then and there. Says, so he left all, rose up, and followed him. I don't think in my Sunday school picture of what Matthew's doing, I can't even picture Matthew flipping the open sign over to closed. He just got up. He was gone. He was done with it. Jesus wanted him to follow him. He was ready. He was going. It's all gone. It's all behind him. It says he left all. I don't think that's talking about just his little booth and about his business and about his money and all of those things. He left everything behind. Isn't that what the Lord wants us to do? To leave it all? Everything. It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do. What do you leave behind? We left our house this morning. We left the things that are in our house. We left some prized possessions there. We brought a few things with us. We're on vacation for another week now, and you know, we've got some things with us. So whatever we have in the trunk and in the truck, and you know, we're trying to decide, should we bring the canoe or not? And he said, yeah, we better bring the canoe. And Darcy and I wanted to go fishing, so we said, okay, we're going to bring the canoe and the motor, because I'm getting lazy, so I have a little motor for my canoe, a little putt along in the lake there and everything. And, you know, we were trying to decide, do we bring it or not? Well, that would have been easy to leave behind, but it was easy to bring as well. And those kind of things, you know, we can kind of get that, leave those things behind. And I can travel pretty light, although Shirley looked at me like this when I was packing my repacking my luggage, and I had a stack of T-shirts about this high. She's, what are you doing kind of a look on her face. And well, I wanted this one, and I wanted this one, and I wanted that one, and just in case I needed these couple. That kind of stuff, though, can be easy to leave behind. But there's more to our lives than that, isn't it? There's this thing here. There's a lot of stuff in here that's hard to leave behind. If you've done something to me, that's hard for me to leave that behind. If I have desires between this and this, it's hard to leave some of that behind. And nobody can see that. But the Lord wants us to leave it all. It's all gone. Sometimes it's hard for us to leave the sin behind. Sometimes we want to kind of put the sin on a leash. And we're going to just take just this one thing with us. We're going to make sure we got that close enough. We got it in control. It's on a leash. Want to make sure that's with us. Sometimes that's hard to leave behind. But the Lord says, or the Bible tells us everything. And that's what that Matthew left everything behind. And that's what the Lord wants from us, to leave everything, to leave it all behind. Luke's recording of this uses a word, and I don't remember what the Greek word was, but it means, it's translated follow me, and it means one going the same way, somebody going along the same way. So I could say to you, you know, follow me, and so you could walk beside me, and you could still kind of be following me because we're going the same way. It's interesting that in Matthew's gospel, when Matthew records about Peter and Andrew and James and John, when Jesus says, follow me, that classic passage, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, it's a different word that's used there. And it's translated follow me or come along, but it means literally to come behind. It's not beside. This follow me could be, you know, just come along and we're going to go the same direction. That's literally what that word means. We're going to go the same direction. But I like the other word that Matthew uses with some of the calling that Jesus did. You come along behind me. You're going to literally follow behind me. Everything that you do, every place that you go is going to be directed by me. You ever been walking along in a mall and you're with somebody and or you're going someplace, you know, and you know, you say, you know, come on, I'll show you where, and you walk along and you get separated and you look and have you ever been talking to that person and they're not there anymore, or maybe they got distracted by something, you're going the same way and you're walking along talking like, where did you go? When you're directly behind, that doesn't happen. And that's where the Lord wants us. He wants us not just going the same direction, but everything that we do, everything in our lives, it's all of the past, all of that is left behind, that's gone. And where we are going is completely directed by Him. Where was He going? Jesus says, here, follow me. And Matthew gets up and leaves everything. And it says he followed him. He takes him home. And Jesus hangs out with the worst. The worst of the people in the town. The worst of the people around. And they all come around to Jesus. And the religious people are like, they don't even ask Jesus this. They ask the disciples. How come he eats with these people? What is he doing with these people? Doesn't he know that they're sinners? Doesn't he know that they're awful people? What is he hanging around with them for? Why would he call a guy like Matthew? Because Matthew would take him home. And Matthew's house would fill up with the people that needed Jesus. That's the ones that showed up. There's a few of these religious people showed up, and they're kind of on the outskirts watching in. But the people that are right there are the people that would be getting together on a regular basis and having those rip-roaring parties, and they all hear Matthew's throwing a get-together, and so they all show up, and they're all ready to come and probably come and party. But Jesus is there. Something's different. Something's changed. And I can see Matthew saying, let me introduce you to my new friend. He's called me to follow him. I've committed my life to him. Just happened today. We're just heading out, and I'm going to follow him now. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm going to follow him. And I can see some of these people, really? Wow, I've heard about this Jesus guy and all of the talk that's going on there. Because Matthew was somebody who had connections with those people who could reach to them. We have those connections, don't we? There are certain people that you can reach to that I could never, ever connect with. Never. I think about this down at camp. I could never, ever, ever counsel kiddies camp. I've never been tempted. But I'll be counseling youth camp. And I love counseling youth camp. And I know people who are like, teenagers? Are you serious? You want to go and counsel teenagers? We can reach people. Some of us can reach this group. Some of us can reach that group. Some of us have these friends. Some of us are in this workplace because these are the people that we connect with. So the Lord says, I want you to make a difference where those people are. That's why you're there. He could say to Matthew, one of the reasons I chose you is because you're friends with the publicans and sinners. You're friends with the people that are sick, the ones that I came to save. It's one of the reasons I chose you. Where was Jesus going? He was going to a lost world. When he said to Matthew, follow me, he said, we're going to a lost world. And Matthew seemed to understand that right away because Matthew calls his lost world friends. And they all get together and he's able to share Jesus with them. Where was he going? In verse 29 and 30? To stand against this false teaching, to stand against this false religiousness, this hypocrisy. And Jesus stood against that. Where was he going? He was going to seek and to save. He was coming to call sinners, right? He was going looking for them. He was going to save them. He was going to the cross. That's where he was going. And he calls Matthew, come and follow me. And Matthew leaves it all behind. And Matthew walked with him. And ultimately, as Jesus called these men, as Jesus called these people, so many of them, literally, not literally, but in a literal sense, they went to the cross. They gave their lives for Jesus. They left it all behind. Jesus says to us today, follow me. Follow me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your blessings in it already. I thank you for the privilege to be able to gather together with other believers, to be able to look into your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who works in our lives, who draws us to you. I thank you for this incredible, simple call. Follow me. I ask that you would help us to ponder these words today and in this coming week. And remind us of them every day. Remind us of them numerous times through the day. We have been called to follow Jesus. We've been called to take up our cross daily. We've been called to leave it all behind. May we answer that call. In Jesus' name, amen.